we can get it started real quick. But listen, when you text me, I completely forgot about Atlanta, dog.
It was.
Don't tell me about anything.
Okay,
I was staying off Twitter.
All right. It was wild as fuck. It was about this nigga's barber. All right, and as every black nigga knows, like shit with your barber is lit. So yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Make sure. Oh shit. Oh shit. Charlamagne, we live.
Well, do tell, what's going on?
We recording? I know we was on.
Yeah, we live.
Oh,
yes, this is the non sequitur, brother.
Oh shit. Okay, well, we gonna have to cut some of this shit out because I had no idea we was here. But or you can fucking start over. I don't give a fuck. I'm schmissed.
somebody switch roles. Now I got to be the responsible. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is episode three.
Man, you
Treyway. Treyway, like Tekashi said.
You know, man, my mama told me I wasn't never gonna make it this far. That I was never gonna make it to episode three of a successful iTunes podcast. So I just want to say, you know, mama, I told you, all right. I'm out here in these streets. We out here in these streets, you know, I don't want to make this, you know, I don't want to make this a singular thing. You know, me and my compadre, you know, one half of the Wayne Wonder Twins.
Wayne Wonder Twins, take the form of a freak black and mild.
Take the shape of, a siphoning gas pump. All right. Episode three, man, of the Beware the L's podcast. I am out here. It's your boy, Uptown Ace Boogie, aka Tyrone Lannister. I'm very happy. Honestly, I'm very happy to still be alive. It's a brazy world out here. You know, they out here robbing niggas, stabbing niggas, shooting niggas. And you know, just to be here living and breathing and chopping it with y'all is an amazing thing. To have survived St. Patrick's Day was an amazing thing. If you follow the Beware the Ills Twitter handle at Beware the Ills on Twitter, then you know that I was wild schmack all fucking day. So you know, shout out to my loved ones that made sure, you know, that I'm still here. But yes, I'm still here. I'm here for a reason, to bring y'all that heat. All right, to bring y'all that culture, and that's what the fuck we in here for. So yes, I am your boy Uptown Ace Boogie. Been doing this shit for a minute now, but you know, I have no plans of fucking slowing down. And I know that my equally schmiz co-host also has no plans of slowing down in his near future either.
Nah, that's not something I don't do. I don't plan on. It's not what we doing around here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Wes. On Twitter, ain't that Wes. I used to be in Block U. I've recently switched back to Paul Masson Margiela.
We're back to the classics.
I got a little bit of class with me, but mainly it's just the dirty, dirty brown liquor. You can check me out there. Everything else, all my social medias, ain't that Wes. Also, make sure you leave me a audio message on Voxer.
Shout out to Voxer, man. yo, Voxer was a legit a part of my life for a solid 2.5 weeks. I can never forget it.
2.5 weeks. I was Voxer gang for like at least like 2 months. I was nasty Voxer gang too. It was a mess. I don't even want to get into it, but it was a time, I tell you that.
Ah, man, listen. Go ahead, follow us on all the socials at the Beware the L's podcast. You can follow that on Twitter.
Follow.
Go ahead, follow us, both of us individually on social media at Uptown Ace Boogie and at Ain't That Wes on all your social media handles. Also, appreciate all the love and all the positive feedback that we have heard on the first two episodes. We apologize for the delay. Life gets in the way and shit, especially when you're black. Life really gets in the way. You know, yep. We just, unfortunately, we don't have time to sit back on trust funds and, you know, post up somewhere in the hills and just record podcasts all day. But
that would be dope for shit, though.
It really would be the life, and that's what we are aspiring to get to. But you know, it's gonna take a couple more likes, a couple more rates, a couple more shares, a couple more listens to get us there. So Go do all that good shit. We are available SoundCloud, YouTube, and most importantly, on iTunes.
iTunes, subscribe.
We have a very beautiful, I'll say aesthetically beautiful show for the ladies and gents today. A lot of culturally relevant shit that's going on right now. You know, obviously we got, you know, our reoccurring segments. We definitely gonna hit up for y'all, our L's of the week. You know, our tweets from the archives, our hot takes and everything. But right now, as you know, we are veterans of the Black Twitter game. We've been doing this shit, all right? Back before Tekashi had the blicky with the sticky, before that nigga even knew what the fuck that shit was, we was out here doing this Twitter shit. So Twitter, you know, being the medium that will never die, Twitter is, in my opinion, the number one purveyor of news for our demographic. I'm not going to CNN for my news. Right? I'm not going to, I'm not even watching my local news. I'm going to Twitter. And,
Twitter is just, it's a lot easier. It's news that's relevant to you and what you look for. It's also very, very easy accessible to find anything you want to find out. You got a search bar, you got people you follow, you get retweets, things like that. So Twitter is news. Newspapers are there, everything like that.
And also, you know, the news is pretty depressing. I mean, you know, you just turn on and be like, oh, you know, a family of nine, you know, got murdered by their nanny, you know, or some shit, or, you know, somebody like drove a car into like a daycare, you know, all that wild shit like that. But, you know, Twitter has the unique ability to mix in comedy with these very, very, very pressing situations. And and I think that's what Black people do best. You know, it kind of sounds.
That's what we came from, is making the best out of terrible situations. And I don't even give you specific situations, but that's what our history is.
Like, I know niggas was out here like cracking jokes and like roasting each other on the fucking plantation. It's the only way to make it through the atrocities that life will throw at you, and that is just.
Oh shit! Look at Tobias. We can go play tic tac toe on a nigga back.
Shit. So, and that just it's moved forward and is completely permeated our culture. So the big story of this week, man, niggas finessing. I can't spend one day without finessing. The niggas better call on Tyrone Hankerson. Who was
an JR Junior? JR,
a student employee in the Howard University Financial Aid Office, embezzled. We can't just say like it ain't just like he just took like a couple $100 for like meal plans or commissary or something. My nigga embezzled $429,000 in financial aid from Howard University.
That's almost $500,000.
And he was just part of a larger scheme on that was perpetrated by a number of Howard University employees that, you know, in all embezzled, a total of over $1 million. But Tyrone Hankerson, my G, see, this is why Black people can't have nice things. You know, you see people like Bernie Madoff and they get away with this shit for years and years and years and years. Why? Because they don't change their lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Like, they'll be out here, they'll be siphoning millions, hundreds of millions of dollars from niggas and still be pulling up, you know, in a 1996 Volkswagen Jetta. You get what I'm saying? Still wearing the same
suits they was wearing. Same, ain't no Versace ties. It's the same Kmart clip-on joints they was getting before.
Facts.
It's that's rule number one. If you get money, don't draw attention.
Don't draw attention to yourself, man. Learn.
Stay low and
stay low and build. Learn from Ace Boogie, man. Learn from Ace Boogie. You see what happened when that nigga Money Making Mitch was out here stunting. You saw what happened to American Gangster when Frank Lucas got that goddamn chinchilla coat that ruined my nigga for life. Frank Lucas is a wild snitch now, but we gonna leave. We gonna ignore that shit. But my man's Tyrone Hagerson, the most iconic picture this man got is he is standing in front of his his student housing that he more than likely purchased with his embezzled money in a designer with a designer bag, a mink coat, and a Yankees fitted. A Yankees fitted. He couldn't let the fade rock. He had to have a Yankees fitted. He had to.
That is one thing I do respect. I'm not gonna say every, but at least 85% of every black man, I would say between the ages of 17 to maybe 55, has a Yankee fitted. And I'm glad he was representing the culture in that. In his finessing, he decided to represent the culture with that. But I my personal favorite picture, I seen a picture of him. He appeared to be on a street down in D.C. doing his thing. And he was jumping in the air and twinkling his toes like Alvin Ailey, my nigga.
And I think he said, if I'm not mistaken, he said, end of the semester, bag secured.
Listen, this nigga was out here asking to be caught.
Listen. Like, could you imagine, like, we done been through school, we done all, not only, have we had many battles, tete-a-tete with the financial aid office, but we had plugs in the financial aid office, too. We all had plugs in the financial aid office. And, I just remember those days hitting up my plugs, trying to get an extra $600-$700, you feel me, just so I could have a little extra in the refund. My man's in a four-year period. Embezzle more money than the president of the United States makes in his salary in a year. You know what I'm saying? It's
to be honest, that's gold in a sense.
You know what?
I mean, obviously, not being caught is part of goals. But if you're able to make that work for that amount of time and not get caught, that's pretty dope. If I do say so myself,
it is part of American dream. Coming from a nigga like Wes, who once stated that. He's wanted to drop out of college and sell drugs. That might be the American dream for you. Shout out to I'm sorry for putting your business back out there again on multiple episodes. But shout out to also the Killmonger meme. It says, "Is this your financial aid money?" with my man Tyrone Hankerson in the background. Shout out to Deezus and Miro. Shout out to Deezus. Imagine an episode of A Different World based on the Tyrone Hankerson situation. I would pay money to see that shit. It's all funny. Like, it's all fun and games. Like, everybody has the Twitter memes. You throw in the SpongeBob memes too, and then everything is litty. But it kind of speaks to a larger issue that we have at a lot of our HBCUs. It's just corrupt, just really from top to bottom. And not saying this shit isn't corrupt at every school in the country, because
you kind of say that for most large, even small, most college institutions have issues like this. Not necessarily to this extent, but. There are issues.
Absolute facts. But at the same time, I think it's just different because we put a certain amount of faith into, these historical institutions that are, supposed to take care of us as people. But, just kind of like also kind of like the black church, too. A lot of people, a lot of poor people, especially get taken advantage of by putting our faith into these quote unquote sacred institutions that really don't give a fuck about us. This is a situation. If you ever hear a lot of stuff about Hampton University, Hampton University is a fucking shithole. All right. We coming with heat today. We ain't pulling no punches. Since Canelo's pulling his punches, fucking steroided bastard. We ain't pulling shit. All right. Amen. So Hampton is, you hear, I've had a few friends that have gone to Hampton, and they literally described it, most closely to a prison, okay? In terms of infrastructure, in terms of curfew rules, in terms of food, in terms of, you know, things of that nature, they say it's fucking awful. And again, a lot of people come there just with this expectation that because we're black, a black school is going to take care of us. But on the contrary, it is a lot of fucking people that are going to take advantage of that mindset, that are going to take advantage of the fact that you are coming in with an open mind and an open heart, thinking that your people are going to look out for you, because a lot of these Negroes ain't fucking looking out for you at the end of the day. You are a come up. Your money is a come up. Your financial aid money is a come up. My nigga Tyrone Hankerson is crip walking through the streets of DC, paying all types of hookers, buying all types of phone posits and all of that good shit, dousing his body in Mambo sauce because he can. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's doing that shit with your fucking money because you decided that instead of, you know, really doing a rigorous college search, you decided that you had to go to Howard because you would just had to go to a HBCU. Which brings us to a larger issue, a larger debate that we see all over the black social media. HBCUs versus PWIs. Wes, I am really interested to hear your opinion on this controversial matter.
Well, let me take a swig of this this here beer real quick, and I'll get right to it. So my general thought on just higher education, you go somewhere where you think you're going to learn the most, grow the most, and have the most life experiences. So when I was thinking about schools, I went before my senior year of high school, I believe. It was like I went on a college tour of a lot of HBCUs down south. We did go to a few PWIs, but I liked the vibe that I got from HBCUs. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be a good experience as well, but things kind of shook out a different way, and I end up going to Kent State, which is definitely a PWI.
PWI is fuck.
But it doesn't have a...
in case anybody was wondering.
Very, very. But, and I was thinking maybe a few years ago, I was thinking about going back to school, and I thought I was looking into HBCUs just so I can say I experienced that as well. But for real, like you can speak to this at Kent. Kent's got a very strong and a very committed black community.
Facts.
So if you're looking for just an experience of, hey, I want to be around black people, be around black people a lot, just go to any school. You're going to find the people you want to be around. You're going to find the things you want to do. So my thing is, I don't care where you go. I don't know which one is better. Wherever you're going to go, you're going to have a good experience, unless you're just a fucking weirdo. Even if you're fucking weirdo, go find a fucking weirdo school for you. So my thing is just go where you think you can grow. I think I felt like I went to Kent 4 years, had a great time, grew a lot, learned a lot, became a better person.
That's what it's all about.
That's life, man. So what do you think, good brother?
Man, honestly, you know, you see this debate still raging back and forth all throughout the social media. And honestly, the only people who make this a debate are the people who go to PWIs. Are the people who go to HBCUs. And this is not an indictment, because obviously both you and I went to a PWI. This is not an indictment on anybody who goes to HBCUs because Howard was second on my list. So if it wouldn't have been Kent, I would have gone to Howard, and I would have been getting finessed out of my financial aid money. So, you know,
Tyrone run off with your check.
So this is not in any way an indictment upon those institutions. But it is an indictment upon, I think, the mindset that accompanies it. You know, it's so funny because you would think that the people that went to the PWIs would be more defensive. You get what I'm saying? You would think that we would be the ones that are like, oh, no, I'm still black. I swear I'm still black. You know, I'm still in touch with my culture. I just feel like I need to do X, Y, Z. But it is really, like we mentioned, you know, the people from the HBCUs are the ones that are constantly saying, oh, you can't, you know, get a real, you know, cultural significant education by going to a PWI. You can't be a part of anything real at a PWI. You can't, you know, or even more asinine, PWI steal culture from, or that buzzword, appropriate culture from HBCUs. But it's like, we're all fucking black. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like
that's the thing. It's no matter where you go, we're still black. Whether it's HBCU, whether it's seven black people on campus, we're still black.
And, you know, that's what it is at the end of the day. And it's just, I don't know, I find it really weird. I find it weird, like, even how much of a debate it has become on social media, like how big of an issue it has become. It is, like, in my mind, it rivals colorism. Like, it rivals light-skinnedness versus dark-skinnedness on social media. And it's just, I don't...
Yeah, that's actually very good.
And I have no idea how it became this. Honestly, my personal opinion is go wherever makes sense for you. There are pros and cons to each side, but you have to understand, just like Wes said, there really is no, like, I mean, none of them is better than the other one, but each one will prepare you for different aspects of life better. And I would definitely say that. And it's just more than anything, it's not a competition. There is no competition. We're all fucking black. And whether there is a concentrated, you know, group of black people or the entire campus is black, that doesn't, where you go to school does not invalidate, you know, your experiences and you know, how you live your life and the culture that you've grown up in. Like, that's fucking ridiculous to, you know, to even make that statement, or even more ridiculous to assume that HBCUs are, you know, are getting their culture siphoned by, you know, PWIs. Like, once again, we are all fucking Negroes. We all come from the same continent. All our ancestors came from slavery. Whether you came from the trap, whether you came from the suburbs, whether you are light-skinned, whether you are dark-skinned, whether you're at a public school, whether you're at a private school, we're all going to get the best education. There is no fucking winner. You know, no. HBCUs were created, you know, hundreds of years ago because we didn't have anywhere else to go. So they serve a specific function. But now you can't expect that. It wouldn't be progress
just went to still HBCUs. Times have changed. For the most part, schools are letting people in at more higher rates and based more so on merit. So we have the opportunity now to go to these schools that we weren't allowed to go to beforehand. So it's become less specialized in a sense. But for real, you need to just go wherever, whoever gives you the most scholarship money.
That's what it's all about.
And duck these student loans and be on your way.
And Howard didn't come talking that cash shit. So that's how I ended up DJ Authentic, Kent State University, University Townhomes, Campus Points, Cleopatra's. That's how I ended up there. Maybe I could have been the same thing at Howard. You know, who knows? But, you know, my life ended up taking that path because, again, I had to follow the money.
You don't play enough go-go to work down there.
Oh, you're damn right. I hate go-go. I actually have a tweet.
All right. Let's
Listen. I have a tweet in the archive that is not going to be a part of our tweet from the archive segment. But I have a tweet from the archive in which I went to a Browns game after we got slaughtered by a Bob Griffin-less Washington Redskins team.
That was rookie Kirk.
Yeah. Where Kirk Cousins... started his first professional game and he whooped our asses with one play the whole fucking game. And I tweeted after the game, fuck Wale, fuck DC, fuck Foams, fuck Mambo Sauce, fuck Go-Go Music, fuck Stadium, fuck all of that shit. And from that moment, I have been banned from the city of DC. Cause nobody's let me forget. I haven't seen this tweet personally.
I'm not from DC, but I'm gonna go ahead and ban you as well.
I'll take it.
Eventually, when this gets to live podcast, it's going to have to be, you're going to have to Skype in. I'm being DC. I'm doing this shit at FedEx. You're going to have to just Skype in for this because they're going to be on your head. Come down.
Motherfuckers. Still fuck y'all and fuck Kirk Cousins. I stand behind that shit. But, I mean, just, I don't know, just this overall in summation, college is a scam. Okay. College is a scam. You are essentially going to pay money to learn how to make money, you know, to essentially get your rocks off, try to avoid as many STDs as possible, and learn how to assimilate into a society that's not made for you. So in that aspect, it doesn't fucking matter where you go.
All you need to do is listen to, like my man Deeza said, just get you your Dat Piff app. Go grab you one of the old Jeezy mixtapes. Listen up how to cook that stuff up, and be on your way. You save yourself a couple thousand
dollars.
That's
where we at. And that is still, and don't think that that's off the table. We are still very, we are, listen, Jeezy's retiring after TM 104. So, and listen, somebody has to take up that mantle, and somebody has to cook that white girl. Somebody has to cook that Demi Lovato, and it might as well be me. Okay.
And I'm ready to step up and fill that void.
Gotta fill that fucking void. But, you know, HBCUs, PWIs, you know, they are, it's a little controversial. It's definitely a little controversial. Something else that's also very controversial right now, kind of stemming off of the Me Too movement that we've spoken on previous pods. Domestic violence is something that runs rampant through the world. You know, it's viewed upon differently in different countries, you know, in different socioeconomic statuses. But regardless of what it is, it is still, you know, just kind of like rape culture. It is a culture that kind of just permeates the fabric of everything to the point you become so used to it that you at some points don't even realize that it's happening. And
to that point, it's like it's become so ingrained within life that it doesn't surprise you. Just the fact that hearing that someone put their hands on their significant other should be something that touches you to your core, because like, hey, that's not supposed to happen. But we see cases of this shit every day, and even more so stuff that happens that's not getting reported or not getting covered or touched on. And it's just it's crazy just to think about how prevalent this is.
You know, it's 200% prevalent. And you know, I think one of the biggest issues that we have with domestic violence isn't even domestic violence itself. It is, I think, a lot of times when it comes to our favorite celebrities, our favorite athletes, we give them a pass because we enjoy them as artists or we enjoy them as players. So we say, yep, you know what? Oh, no, not my nigga. No, free so-and-so, free whatever. And again, that's the fucking problem. The problem right now is, and this would hurt me, Fab has been one of my favorite rappers for forever. He's forever. Obviously, I think he's one of the best rappers to never have a classic album. That will definitely be a few. That will be one of on a future pod for another time. He has been one of my favorites since he came into the game. But even further than that, you know, he has become somebody who's become synonymous with, again, the culture. Nobody is more topically relevant. Nobody is quicker. You see all the memes on Twitter, Fab, you know, getting in the booth, in the studio, speaking on, these events that take place, you know, in the world. But now, ironically, Fab is the same person that he's been rapping about, you know? It sucks because, again, it's one of those situations where you don't ever want to have to look at one of your favorite artists differently or one of your favorite athletes differently. But it is, I can't just say, oh, well, this is Fab, so he gets off, while, you know, somebody else who I don't like gets a pat, or, you know, gets ostracized for it. I think the biggest person that is, kind of afflicted by, you know, this wave is Chris Brown. Chris Brown still, to this day, go up and down anybody's timeline. Like, Chris Brown, like, it's amazing how many tweets you will see from females and dudes basically saying, oh, damn, that's fucked up, but it's Chris Brown. Like, damn, I can't believe he did that, but I still love him. I still love his music. I still love his catalog. Listen.
Yeah. Chris Brown, Chris Brown had a situation with Rihanna, who and they at the time was one of the most popping pop stars in the world, and he has come back. You could almost say not as strong as he came back before, as popular as he was before, but he's still out here in the culture making music, doing things.
And it's a pattern of behavior that's continued for Chris Brown. Chris Brown's a piece of shit. I mean, for all intents and purposes, like, not saying that he doesn't clearly have a lot of issues going on mentally, because he does, but he is a piece of shit that is not just, doesn't just have emotional issues, but he's a fucking asshole on top of that. But because he drops a double album, a mediocre double album with 49 songs on it that you like, or because he gets up on stage and does a couple dance moves, it's cool. Listen, this goes back to, you know, so many stand-up comedy specials that we've seen and that we've heard from, you know, people like Hannibal Buress talking about Bill Cosby, or, you know, or things of that nature. And or my man Carmichael talking about fucking Michael Jackson. Like, dude, I love Michael Jackson, but he's a fucking pedophile. Like, there's no way around it. There's absolutely no way around it. And it doesn't matter how much you idolize, how much you worship, how much music you listen to, you know, how many games you watch. It's up to you whether you want to continue supporting that person. That's a moral decision. But at the end of the day, you cannot, there's no fucking way that you can excuse these actions. Because every action that you excuse from a celebrity leads to somebody else, some regular nigga, thinking that shit is cool. Thinking that, oh, okay, well, Chris Brown did the shit and it was okay, so if Chris Brown gets away with it, I can get away with it too. And that sounds stupid, but people are stupid.
I see. If people are stupid, people will use somebody else's feelings about something. Like you said, like my homie said, that's cool, so I'm gonna use that to justify my behavior. So in a sense, like, you continuing to support the person is definitely a decision you can make on your own, because you are an individual. You can support everything you want, but that kind of can have a negative effect on those around you, which in turn can affect people around them, and that leads to the culture and the society continuing to be.
Listen, man, we are sheep, right? Like, we are sheep, and I hate to say this, black people are sheep. You know, to a stronger extent when it comes to, again, these institutions that we quote-unquote believe in. You know what I'm saying? Like white people are sheep too, just in general, but we are sheep when it comes to these certain institutions, when it comes to the church, when it comes to, you know, certain sports, when it comes to certain music. And we're just like, okay, we got to follow this wave by any means. It does not matter whether it's right or wrong. It does not matter what this person did, I'm gonna rock with them regardless of what happens. We had a whole episode of Boondocks about this with R. Kelly. You know what I'm saying? Like there was an entire episode about niggas continuing to support R. Kelly despite the bullshit that he has been on from day one. This nigga married Aaliyah when she was 15. We should have known. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the writing was on the wall. Niggas painted over that shit.
All fucking facts. So it's like, you know, it's you know, especially when it comes to us and when it comes to our people. Like, you know, I try not to get too preachy and get too hotep, but like, when it comes to us and our people, we are already looked at through a microscope. We already have this very small margin of error. So to look and to dismiss all these morally, these morally corrupt institutions and these morally corrupt situations, just because somebody who you idolize or somebody who you had faith in is, you know, committing the act, that doesn't work for us. White people can get away with that shit. We can't. All right? We can't. We, again, you got to keep the devil way down in the hole. To quote Wes's favorite person, David Simon. Creator of The Wire. But
David Simon, my guy, real quick, David Simon, you're my guy. The Wire, perhaps the greatest television drama of all time. I still want the hands. You disrespected me on Twitter from my Twitter family, from Black Twitter. I'm here. Please contact me so we can set this fade up.
The fade. So you heard it here first. Beware the L's podcast. David Simon, if you are listening, we might have to at you with a link to the show. Wes is trying to run you that fade. This is for Marlo. Okay. This is for Bodie. This
is for Wallace, clearly. This is for D'Angelo. This is for everybody.
This is for all the gunners that lost their lives because you wanted to add shock value to your show. Okay? Shout out to Hamsterdam. But the fade is coming. Just so you are aware, Mr. Simon. But yeah.
Your ass, nigga.
Just overall, it's, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, domestic violence is wrong. You should never put your hands on your significant other. A man should never put their hands on a woman. Things like that are obvious, but a lot of times it's not even about, you know, the act itself. It's about preventing yourself from getting in that situation.
From even getting to that point.
Or if you are in that situation or one of your peoples is in that situation, what happens afterwards? You know, don't write it off to I was mad or I was drunk or I was whatever. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You know, in every facet, in every sense of the word. And again, until you start holding yourself, until you start holding the people you care about or the people that you idolize, until you start holding them accountable, this shit ain't never going to change. Wes said on our first show, you know, shout out to these hoes. But
it's always shout out to y'all. Appreciate y'all.
We obviously have to appreciate. You appreciate your women, man. You appreciate the women that raised you. You appreciate, you know, your sisters. You appreciate your significant others. You appreciate all of that. And listen, there are plenty of, you know, people who will push you to a situation in which you may feel that type of anger. Oh yeah. It ain't, you know, to say that you're not allowed to get mad at somebody who disrespects you. Oh, that's ridiculous. But
yeah, that can't be expected. But when you know you're in a situation where this could lead to something that you are going to regret for the rest of your life, it sounds like some fucking middle school shit. But take yourself away from that situation.
Pull out.
Every nigga
hypes up their pull out game like your auntie's mac and cheese on Thanksgiving. But pull out game does not just refer to. Shout out to them cheeks. It doesn't just refer to that. It refers to your ability to pull yourself out of any situation that is either going to be adverse for yourself or for somebody you care about. Bottom line. So again, domestic violence, Fab, I love you, but I can't rock with you, you know, in this situation. Definitely can't rock with a Chris Brown. I can't rock with, you know, I can't rock with, you know, anybody who, you know, feels like it has to go to that level. Yes, mistakes are made, but once again, it's all about kind of how you handle yourself before and after that really decides what type of person you are. But you know, Fab, as I mentioned, Fab, I think he is one of the greatest rappers of all time to never have a classic album. Unfortunately, he has plenty of classic mixtapes, no classic albums. But there are a select group of Negro wordsmiths, and Caucasian wordsmiths. Shout out to Eminem as well, who most have Lil White. Can't forget about Lil White.
Oh shit! Sorry to interrupt you, but I got the Warriors game on the background. Kevin Durant just got ejected for arguing a call. So he's going to the locker room, and I hope he can brush his hair while he's back there. Kevin Durant, I got smoke for you too, brother.
We got all the smoke for Kevin Durant. That's every day. Kevin Durant, along with David Simon, has a standing fade invitation from both myself and Wesley over here.
I don't know if I'd fight Katie. I rock.
Oh
Katie.
I just
want to have a conversation.
I'm throwing hands with KD, and if he loses, I'm forcing him to brush his hair. It reminds me of the Chappelle Show World Series of Dice sketch where Ashy Larry was fucking up, and you know, you got R.I.P. Charlie Murphy in the back. Go upstairs and put some lotion on. That's it.
That's what we'll do. I'll set it up. I'll try to figure this out. We'll do a two fight special. I'll get David Simon, you get KD. We'll donate to charity. Probably the charity will probably be like Onyx in Philly.
Listen, support your local strip clubs, okay? Listen, they need love too. They are charities, just like any other of our fine nonprofit organizations. Go ahead, support your women. Right. I told you, we support our women in all endeavors, whether they are starting a business, whether they are stripping, no matter what the situation is. We love y'all, okay? So,
shout out to y'all.
My man's got PC on us. Look at that.
I done grown in the last 40 minutes.
You talk about, classic albums. And, I saw an interesting debate on Twitter not too long ago. And the question was, which rapper, in your opinion, has had the best three-album run, three consecutive albums, no collab albums, no group albums, no compilations, the best three consecutive solo album run in the history of hip-hop? And it seems like a daunting question, but when you think about it, how many niggas have even had three great albums in a row?
Albums.
Facts. Period. So I'm going to leave that to you, Wes, because our musical opinions differ greatly. I want you to go first, because I'm very curious to hear your opinion on this matter.
Now, ideally, anytime I have any type of musical discussion, the word great comes up. I immediately think of my favorite rapper. My name is Sean Carter. A noted cheater on his wife. He also has bars here and there. But I was thinking about Jay-Z, and I would say Jay-Z has three clear classic albums, but I wouldn't say that he has three great albums in succession. The most I could string together was two. So that kind of negates the greatest rapper from this conversation. This conversation would have to start with Kanye. Now, personally, I'm not a super duper Kanye stan. Love Kanye to death, but I'm not the biggest Kanye fan in the world. But looking at his run of albums, I chose there were five. I could choose five albums in a row, and you can kind of choose any three album run in between. What are we doing? From College Dropout through My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and any three album run, I would say would be three classic albums.
My favorite album of all time.
Very influential.
As I might mention.
And I could say any three album run you choose from there, I couldn't argue being classic. Another artist I thought of, again, not an artist I'm super, super huge on, but I got to respect, is Kendrick. I would say Kendrick's Mad City, Pimp a Butterfly, Damn Run is three very, very good albums. I personally can give a fuck about Butterfly. That's just me, but I'm gonna respect that as just an album for the culture that the culture loves. I kind of crowdsourced another group, one of the greatest groups in hip hop history, being Outkast.
Outkast,
their first three album run, three classics.
For sure. See, I disqualified them from this talk just because them being a group.
Okay.
But if we're talking just three consecutive albums from any collection of artists, solo or group, they definitely a part of that. Like ain't no way around that shit.
So does that disqualify Smiles and South Star as well?
Nothing disqualifies Smiles and South Star. Wayne Wonder Twin Powers activate take the shape of Smiles and South Star. Nothing will ever disqualify them from the situation, and we are still waiting on that comeback album, for sure.
Smile, soft start. Talk to me, man. Another artist I was doing a little bit of research while I was preparing myself, getting smizzed. DMX did have, in like a year and a half run, three number one albums. Now, they weren't necessarily classics, but to have three number one albums in a row in a year and a half.
Free X, goddammit.
Facts.
Tax evasion? That's not even a real fucking crime. Like, I mean, he didn't, listen, he didn't rob nobody, he didn't kill nobody. It wasn't even about drugs or a probation violation. Like, come on, dog.
Nope.
Like, free my nigga. Goddammit. Free Earl. Yeah. Free fucking Earl. I'm sorry, I'm hot. Earl is very significant to my life.
No,
if you've never heard What These Bitches Want, then you don't understand the emotion that's coming out of me right now.
No, okay? That, you're definitely right. There was Keisha, Tamisha, Tommy Lauren, Susie.
Also, I don't think I've ever seen two niggas outside of Casey and JoJo that were that fried in a single video, other than DMX and Cisco. Go ahead, run that video back. Watch them niggas. Watch their movements. Watch their eyes. Watch their sweat glands. Okay? Them niggas were high as a fucking kite. And that's where art comes from being high as a kite.
That is literally the only place where true art can be derived from. Speaking of someone high who makes great art, The Weeknd's dropping tonight, and I'm pretty excited.
My man's, The Weeknd's back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, my nigga done grown his hair back out. He done got rid of Selena Gomez. She was dragging him down.
Making him do that all that poppy shit. Yeah, that poppy shit. You got a couple joints here and there, all happy Weeknd, but I need depressed Weeknd.
Oh, listen, I say this all the time, and it's so selfish. This is one of the most selfish aspects of me in my entire life. I don't like when my favorite artists' lives are going well. I don't want to see them prosper. I don't want to see them prosper. I mean,
stay in the trap. Stay in the trap. stay fucked up on these drugs. Stay with the baby mama issues, everything. I need
Future,
all
keep impregnating women. Stay on the lean. All right, keep doing all that. Usher. When Usher's life was going well, what album did he make? Here I Stand. Trash. Garbage. Ew. He got divorced. Ew. What'd he come back with? Raymond versus Raymond. Alright? Case in points. Alright? So Weeknd, right. Weeknd dropping tonight. Can't fucking wait. Weeknd is probably my favorite. It's hard to still call him an R&B artist, but I've been rocking with him since he was an R&B artist. Love that nigga to death. Shout out also to pregnant Cardi. Trying to secure that bag. She is dropping a single tonight, dropping her album next week. I am wishing all great things on young Cardi B. That hopefully she can secure everything she needs to secure before this musically inclined child pops out of her. But best three album run, in my opinion. I think the first couple people that come to mind, as you mentioned, are Jay-Z or Kanye. But you are right about Hove. Hove is my favorite musical artist of all time. Hashtag fuck the Beatles.
That's right.
But you are correct. It is weird that somebody as great as him has never put together a string of three consecutive solo albums that have been that great. I think you can probably say his best three album run is probably I don't want to say Reasonable Doubt Volume 1 and Volume 2.
That was my second. If I had to pick a three album run, that was my second best one I would choose.
I would probably say honestly,
don't overthink this.
Weirdly enough, Dynasty Blueprint 1 and Blueprint 2. I know that sounds wild, but seriously, like the Dynasty doesn't get enough love, and Blueprint 2 definitely does not get enough love. That's for damn sure.
If you're correct in those but if you're gonna do it for Jay-Z, it has to be Blueprint 2 and the Black Album.
Are you not
up on the Black Album?
Listen, the Black Album is the album that made me fall in love with music. So yes, I'm very up on the Black Album, but I don't know.
Are you saying the Black Album is better? Are you saying Dynasty is better than the Black Album?
Is this my hot take of the week? Is it my hot take of the week? I don't know. When's the last time you listened to Guilty Until Proven Innocent? Okay. Damn, I can't say Jigga and Kelly not guilty because both of them niggas was guilty. That's the fucked up part. It's not Hove. You know, Kanye immediately comes to mind as well. But I would say that my choice for the best three album run in hip hop history is really not even too far fetched. When you think about it, it's kind of obvious. Eminem, my man's. Slim Shady LP, Marshall Mathers LP, and the Eminem Show. You can't beat that shit. You can't beat it.
See, personally, I did see that, and I was doing some research. I'm telling you right now, I'm really not a big Eminem fan. I definitely respect him as an artist. He's a great artist, one of the top rappers in the history of rap music. But I don't listen to enough. I haven't listened to enough Eminem to say he's in there. But please elaborate and tell me
why. I agree with you in that. I actually feel like Eminem has been all downhill since the Eminem Show. So that was kind of his apex.
Everybody in the 313.
But those first three albums, man, the way that guy came on the scene, and a lot of people try to discredit Eminem, obviously because of his, you know, his race. And if we're going to be completely G, as time has gone on, he has floated by, and he's gotten a lot of passes because he is, you know, unequivocally the greatest white rapper of all time. So, you know, he kind of resonates with an audience, and he resonates with a vibe that we don't give a shit about, and we will never understand.
Yep.
You know, and that if you listen to his last couple albums, you know, Marshall Mathers LP 2, and you know, and things of that nature, you'll hear that come out in his music. And what was his last one? Whatever the last one that came out, I didn't even listen to it.
I don't know why you're asking me.
I don't even know what the fuck it's called, but. Those first three albums were fucking transcendent, because I think it was the first time in the history of rap music that, you know, we saw a white guy and his color didn't matter. He was just fucking good. Like, lyrically, there's no debate to how great Eminem is. He's one of the top five lyricists of all time. There's absolutely no debate to that. And that, in addition to his wild, zany, kooky, egads personality, completely showed out on those first three albums. I think that that, like I said, that topped out on the Eminem Show, which is my favorite project from him. But you know, you just got to go back, man. And I knew Eminem was that non-nigga when I heard when I heard "Forget About Dre," which is one of my favorite verses. His verse is one of my favorite verses of all time in the history of ever. Like, my nigga bodied that shit. So he kind of, he took those first three albums and he collected his experiences. He collected his life. He collected his pain, his issues with his mother, his issues with Kim, trying to provide for his daughter, trying to balance this wild ass persona, trying to be this mainstream icon while also trying to be this same down-to-earth, you know, dude from Detroit that came up with D12, R.I.P. Proof.
R.I.P. Proof.
Those three albums are fucking magnificent. And if there's, you know, anything that you want to go back and listen to this week, those might be the joints to do it. So that's my choice for the best three-album run in the history of the game. So shout-out to M. For damn sure.
I can respect that. I'm glad. I thought this would be a lot more contentious.
Maybe I'm not smizzed enough, but you know, contention. I love debate. I love debate, but I don't love ignorant debate. I ain't about to be up here just wilding out, throwing out all types of wild shit. Russell Westbrook is better than LeBron because he has 97 more triple doubles in his career. I'm not Skip Bayless.
I mean, numbers don't lie. Okay. Numbers don't lie.
I'm not Skip Bayless. I'm not Colin Cowherd. I'm not any of these fuck asses. Like, if I'm gonna come to you with a hot take, I'm gonna come to you with some real shit. Now, my hot takes are usually pretty rooted in reality. I can't say the same thing for Brother Wes over here.
Facts only, everything real in my raps only.
So
it's rooted in my reality. My reality might be different from your reality, but I'm talking some real shit, right?
I thought we was all living in the same world, but apparently, you know, in a world where the Tekashi 6ix9ine Rainbow Gang are the kings of New York, maybe I don't deserve to be there. So you know, hot taking is what you do, brother Wes, brother Bubs. So
perfect. Cut the tape. I'm giving you my hot take right now. No introduction. I'm talking my shit right now. Here we go.
Go ahead, my G.
I'm going to talk to you today. My hot take of the week is going to be about something that is wildly overrated. Now, I know this is going to cause some issues for me. I'm preparing myself for all the feedback and kickback that's going to come from it. But an overrated, this is a food item. It's beloved on Twitter. Everybody and a mama love this shit. It's from a restaurant that serves decent food. But the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, hold on. Whoa, stop the fucking tape, because I feel like you are about to sever a friendship right now. We have been rocking since the Lake Hall Fourth Floor Gang days. And I feel like this might be the end of it. So choose your words very fucking wisely. We have throughout our friendship, okay, we've had sports battles. All right, we have gone back and forth over fantasy football championships. Okay,
some more than others.
Yes, we have rode around, you know, to the delightful sounds of Ray J. I Hit It First, and you know we bonded. We've been through the fucking trenches. So before you make this statement, my nigga, please rethink this shit.
You know what, let me backtrack a little bit so let me take a few steps back so I can take another couple steps forward and say it even louder with my motherfucking chest. Cheddar Bay biscuits from Red Lobster are wild overrated. Now, this isn't saying that they're not good. They're okay to me. They're all right. But the way they are bigged up on Twitter and the internet just to seem as they are, as if they're crafted by Jesus Christ himself with 12 disciples out there baking bread and grating cheese, is just a wild statement. So I'm gonna need everybody. You can chill. We understand they're pretty good. They're okay. But to say to the extent that they're bigged up and respected is just a waste. Shit, I don't even know if they're the best. I was about to say.
So please tell me, nigga, who has better rolls, biscuits, whatever? Name anything, anywhere.
Off top, Texas Roadhouse with the cinnamon butter, my nigga. That is way better.
Listen, I give big ups to all my haters and the cinnamon butter. The cinnamon butter is fire, but the cinnamon butter is an accessory. It's a condiment. It's not the bread itself.
Yeah, but
it's not the fucking bread itself, my nigga. Though, like, you can't say like.
Even without the cinnamon butter, the bread itself is got a little toasted with the way it's toasted. It's got this slippery and shit. It's like the Migos shit is slippery. You gotta grab that motherfucker and take a bite out of it like you really mean it. So if you feel the need to defend Cheddar Bay biscuits, please do. I guess I don't really fucking know.
There's nothing to defend. Cheddar Bay biscuits were crafted. As you know, try to refute. Cheddar biscuits were crafted by Jesus Christ himself. They adhere to a wide array of audiences. They are great for your ratchet side chick that you want to take somewhere just so she'll shut the fuck up. They are, you know, you can take, they're great for your mama or your grandmama on Mother's Day. Because they are black and they don't want anything else but Red Lobster. They are somewhere that you can go after you fuck your girl good and she takes you to Red Lobster. Like, they are great for all audiences. Cheddar Bay Biscuits.
I'd rather you take me to Chili's.
It'll be good. I'll take his ass to Chili's. All right, my nigga. You know what? You do that. There are no L's, you know. Our podcast is called Beware the L's. There are absolutely no L's in Cheddar Bay biscuits. There is no downside to them. So for you to be out here spewing this slanderous, these statements at me, I'm quite frankly, I'm offended.
I'm sorry that.
And you're throwing big words at me, so I'm gonna take it as disrespect. I mean
they're cool. They're not literally the greatest thing since sliced bread, because they are a variation of sliced bread. That's just okay. That's all I'm saying.
I'm currently rethinking this friendship and this entire podcast.
So I just spoke to the to this. Yeah, not being
so episode 3 might be the end. So please, like we said, listen, like, rate, share, subscribe, Beware the L's podcast, SoundCloud, YouTube, most importantly on iTunes. This might be our very last episode.
Give us some feedback. let us know who other potential partners we could branch off on new podcasts with.
you know, man, I'm still I'm quite frankly, like I said, I'm holding out on that for that podcast with Spice Adams. You know,
that'd be fire. I can't wait to yeah. hate, can't wait to hate on that.
hate. Either if you don't get murked by me, you're gonna get murked by David Simon. So I, you know what, David I'm Simon completely.
Wants, no, I'm a chill. I was gonna say something extremely reckless, but I'm a chill. David Simon.
Free smoke. Yeah, you about to be on your our good friend Austin Coley and Aaron Carter shit. So you know you might wanna fall back because the Simon Hive is out in these streets. David Simon speaks very recklessly on Twitter. If you follow the nigga, he's out of fucking control. He has said the word nigga on multiple occasions on social media and in interviews. But in terms of people's past tweets, in terms of their archives, David Simon might have one of the more wild ones that we have out here. Myself and Wes got some pretty wild tweets from the archives ourselves. So that brings us to my favorite reoccurring segment. Good brother Wesley, tweets from the archives. I need a month, a year, yes. and some recklessness. So throw it at me.
All right. Yes, I'm gonna lead it off because I'm definitely a child of God, so my tweets aren't very reckless. I had to dig very, very deep to figure out what's going on here. But this is from April 11th. Of 2013 is actually two tweets. Mm-hmm. First tweet was, my teacher keeps looking at me with these eyes. I think she wants that DAC. D-A-C-K. I can't remember specifically what class this was, but I guess that was how I was feeling at the time. And then, was it 11th? And then this is not 2 weeks later, on the 23rd. My teacher will not give me 5 more points to make an A-. Fuck this bitch. I'm out. So you can see how life changes in a matter of days. One day your teacher's wants the pipe or the J.R. Smith, and then the next day she's not giving you a hookup that you didn't earn. I was just a young Wes out here just wilding on Twitter, just slandering people, bigging up people, insinuating that people want things that they may not want, and then slandering them a few days later.
That's your teacher at the end of the day. We're not from Florida, where you know teachers are just having sex with kids all willy nilly. That's not something that you can. I really don't think that's something that you can just throw out there, you know.
For nothing. This was college.
Everything was different.
Yeah, this is definitely different. Niggas got after hours. Niggas know how to get down in college. I've seen many an adult film where someone has to go in for extra credit. Shout out to all the porn brackets that are out there that are floating around.
And there are plenty of that are floating around. And Stormy Daniels is not going to be winning any brackets, unfortunately. Stormy Daniels has aged like a fine banana, essentially.
You could say she's aged like a Cheddar Bay biscuit.
Cheddar Bay biscuits actually hold up for a couple of days, and if you was a real cheddar, Cheddar Bay biscuit eating nigga, then you would understand that. But Stormy Daniels has aged, as a fine banana, as a nice ripe banana, maybe as well as a fried egg on the sidewalk. She's not looking too smooth these days, and all these MAGA ass niggas out here are attacking her for it, saying that President Trumpito would never, he would never sleep, sleep with this woman or cheat on Queen Melania, for this, for this 8-day-old hot dog looking chick. But he did, because he's a piece of shit. And I will reinforce that every fucking episode that I possibly can. Your president is a piece of shit.
Facts. Any point, but real quick PSA, any porn stars is just down to see what's going on with Wes. If you trying to get your followers up, holler at your boy. Low-key want to shout out some specific porn stars, but I'm going to chill on that. Maybe a couple later. Once we get the followers up, then I'm going to start shouting you out.
So does that include Pinky as well?
I know you, sis, you spoke to the deterioration of this friendship with the Cheddar Bay Biscuits thing. If you disrespect me like that, with Pinky, with present day Pinky.
Hashtag present day Pinky. Hashtag
present day Pinky. I'm going to have to send the shoe.
Oh, my God. Oh, Pinky. Talk about a fall from fucking grace. Pinky was the star of childhood, was the star of our pubescent years. And to see.
I'm trying to think of a comparison.
I have a comparison that segues nicely into my tweets from the archives.
That's why
Darren Williams is the best point guard in basketball. Period. From May of 2011.
And that's not even a hot take, because I was. For a long time, like a long, legitimately long time, I was a big Darren Williams.
And I was as well, but clearly it didn't hold up. This shit just didn't, it just didn't hold up over time.
It never would have.
But that's not even my hot take of hot takes. My tweet from Archive. My tweet from Archive is actually a retweet. So even though it's not my actual words, it's so fucking outlandish that I feel like I have no choice but to investigate under the microscope. This is from January 2nd of 2014. So this is not even that long ago, right? And to be completely honest, it's hard for me to even defend it, because I have no idea why this was retweeted. Somebody. Talking about their top five rappers. And, so they say, my top five, is looking like number one, Big Sean. Number two, Mac Miller. Number three, 2 Chainz. Number four, J. Cole. Number five, Drake. And I quoted this tweet and said, dope. Motherfucker, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
It is not from Dirty James. It is not.
All right, so Big Sean number one.
I have no idea for the life of me, because anybody who knows me in real life, outside of this podcast shit, anybody who knows me in real life knows I hate Big Sean. Like I can't stand that. In 2018, I can't stand Big Sean. He used to be one of my favorites, but I can't stand him. So. Even four entire years ago, to insinuate that Big Sean, Mac Miller, and 2 Chainz were ever ahead of J. Cole and Drake is asinine. Honestly, I probably need my rap, my rap aficionado pass revoked. I probably need my black card revoked too.
I would go that far, but definitely it's like maybe a quick 4 or 5 day rap break. Just get real heavy into some jazz.
I'm listening to some Al Jarreau for the next few days, and some good old Kenny G as I try to recenter myself, because honestly, I'm upset at myself. You look back at your feed, you look back at your feed, and your Twitter feed is kind of like anything else. It's like looking at a grade book, or it's looking back at your past relationship history.
Looking into a window into your soul of who you used to be.
It truly is. So, you look back like, damn, I used to fuck with her. Or, oh, god damn, I really got a 61 on that test. And I am staring right now at a tweet that is a solid 57%.
The only logical thing I can think of is whoever tweeted it. Maybe this was their personal top five, because I can assure you my personal top five is not anybody's top five. But the fact that you agreed with it, and gave it the dope cosign, not even like a I feel you.
Yeah, a whole dope, which means I completely co-signed it. Like I co-signed, you know, like I co-signed Craig Mack's second album, which was never actually coming. First of all, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that interview on fucking Yo MTV Raps, but please Google that shit and watch fucking Diddy and Big play fucking Craig Mack talking about his second album that was never actually coming out. Please, I know I've mentioned this shit before, but I'm serious. Go watch that shit. That was some of the most disrespectful shit I've ever seen. R.I.P. Craig Mack.
That's R.I.P. Craig Mack.
I'm sorry, y'all. You know, like I said, my Twitter feed is something that I'm not completely proud of. You know, but I can't take it back, you know, because honestly, we out here living. We living, you know, this is, I've made a lot of mistakes, and you know, I've done a lot of fuck shit. Right? There've been plenty of times where I looked at myself in the mirror and I didn't know who the fuck I was or what the fuck I was doing. But you know what? For my L's of the week, I want to discuss somebody who looks himself in the mirror every single day but continues to fuck up. Bob Wizzle, aka Shad Moss. Listen, my guy.
Prince of the O Town, that's your boy. That's your man.
First of all, you know, the O Town's not a thing, okay? Ohio's a state, and there are separate cities within that state. So even on the greatest verse of Bow Wow's career, I think they like me, he was still talking fucking nonsense. But Bow Wow, my mans, this is more of, again, of a collective ill. These are things, you know, that have come to the light recently, they've been building over some time. This is not a guy who, you know, made a mistake and repented, a la my mans Ruben Studdard in Sorry 2004. No, this wasn't just a single solitary mistake. This wasn't Kobe, you know, buying the $10 million purple diamond for Vanessa. No, this was none of that. This is the case of a nigga who just can't stop. Since nobody else is bigging up Bow Wow, he has to big himself up. So in a span of...
Hey, you gotta respect that. So, you gotta believe in yourself. Everyone else believes in you.
So in a span of about 2 fucking weeks, Bow Wizzle, the Prince of the O-Town, it all started, you know, it started well enough for him. You know, he, just a few weeks ago, he beat Wes's idol, Lonzo Ball. You know, hashtag Triple B, hashtag Ball Talk Ball, hashtag Ball Control, hashtag Never Lost. Shout out to LiAngelo entering the draft and ruining his life too. We'll talk about that on a later pod. But it all started with, you know, Bow Wow pulling out that strap and taking out Lonzo in the shooting contest. But oh goddamn, did it go downhill very quickly. We progressed to Bow Wow getting knocked out of the show by a nigga named Cheeks Boss Man.
I didn't know dude had a name.
His name is Cheeks Boss Man. Not only is it
Cheeks?
Cheeks Boss Man.
Like Mr. Cheeks?
Like our guy, Mr. Cheeks, who I'm still looking for a collab with. But
anytime. Come on the pod, Mr. Cheeks.
But he got knocked out on camera by a nigga named Cheeks Boss Man. And then, of course, he went on a long social media rant discussing how this shit wasn't real. And, you know, it was a setup, and that's not how it went down. And the chick who was there who recorded the video, she gonna drop the footage because she really know. I ain't seen no footage. I haven't seen any type of footage. I see you getting snuffed out by a nigga named Cheeks Boss Man. I don't know if there's any way to live that down. Then.
That's crazy.
Then you progress to essentially getting drunk in the studio off of Ciroc and making a song about a man. I don't know if anyone has heard his song.
I have completely missed this whole Bow. I know one thing I want to talk to you about Bow.
He got fried, essentially in the studio, according to him. And he made an entire song about Chris Brown. apparently somebody who he has not spoken to in quite some time. He made an entire song about Chris Brown talking about their complex relationship and, why everything went downhill, and he's still his little brother, but he wants to give him smoke. And all on a song called Drunk Off Ciroc, if you care to listen to it. I just find it very odd, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, sexuality or anything like that. But just the fact that you get drunk off Ciroc, and you're not making a song to any of your exes. You're not making a song to Angela Simmons or, his baby moms. Or Sierra, or what's his baby mom, Joy Chavis, or anything. You get drunk, you make a song about Chris Brown. That's like me getting drunk and making a song about you, nigga. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm good. I'm good. Like,
talk about me. I'm sending shooters straight up. Yeah, good song or bad song? The shooters are coming.
I don't know. I just feel like when I am drunk, when I'm smizzed, there are much more important things on my mind than a fucking piece of shit like Chris Brown. So, in that aspect, that's an L itself. Chris Brown also responded to this song with literally just some emoji eyes, and basically saying, "What you doing, Bow Wow?" That's it. That was the only response.
Oh no, Bow Wow! What is your doing, baby?
And then if we gonna keep it moving, he then lost $10,000 hooping to Lil Durk. Shout out to Durk, man.
For real. That's one of my favorite artists from Chicago. Shout out to Durk.
This ain't what you want, my niggas. But essentially, Bow Wow has had a rough couple weeks.
I've got one more L for Bow Wow for you.
There's another one. There's one that I missed. So go right ahead.
Piggyback off this. Are you familiar with the young rapper by the name of Trippie Redd?
Oh, how did I forget? Shout out to Trippie Redd, the real prince of the old town. shout out to the beef between Bow Wow and Trippie Redd. Shit.
That's like the main thing.
And Trippie Redd has essentially been disrespecting Bow Wow all over social media, getting all his fans to bombard Bow Wow's comments, and Bow Wow can't do a damn thing about it because he doesn't have any fans. So he kind of just automatically takes an ill there, regardless of the merit of the situation. So my man's is struggling. My man's is very clearly struggling. As someone who listened to Bow Wow growing up, just like everybody else, you want to see the nigga succeed. But then you realize how motherfucking corny he is, and then you're just like, you know what? You can go. You know what? You can go, Shad Moss.
I can tell you the exact moment I was done with Bow Wow.
And what was that?
That was when he lost a previous beef he had with Lil Romeo.
Lil Romeo was trying to hand him that fizzy.
When Lil Romeo put out perhaps the top three. I'll give it maybe at least top four diss songs of all time. And You Can't Shine.
You Can't Shine Like Me. Yo, not only did he drop You Can't Shine Like Me, he was trying to openly set up a fade appointment with Bow Wow. And then, years down the line, he took Angela Simmons. They are quote-unquote best friends, but we all know what best friends means. Okay?
Yeah, best friends.
Shout out to Romeo. Bow Wow, this L, you gotta hold it. Just like our good, I'm sorry, I'm still a little schmissed. But just like our good antagonist of the show, DJ Academics, Bow Wow, this is the L that you are more than likely gonna carry for quite some years. So, you know what? You can hold this L symbolically, and every other time that Bow Wow needs an L, all you got to do is like, share, subscribe, listen to Beware the L's podcast, and you can go ahead and keep that fresh in your memory.
Bow Wow, if you're feeling some type of way, Bow Wow, please come on the podcast to discuss. You're more than welcome to come on here. Pause. I don't.
You know what? On that note, I'm ready to wrap up the show unless you have an L of your own.
Anyway, so yes, L of the week. I got one or two. I'm trying to decide which one I can use. They're a little dated. We did have plans to record previously, but like Austin spoke to a little earlier, shit happens.
Smith's life happens.
I'm trying to think of one is more sentimental. The other one is more jokey jokes. I'm gonna let you decide which one should I go with. So you don't know what either one is, but
nah, you don't know.
Let me just go with that.
Sure, I do.
All right, here we go. My L of the week is all of our childhoods. Okay. Within the it's been about 2-3 weeks now. The news that Toys R Us was shutting down all locations. They're going bankrupt, and that when I heard that news, that hurt me personally.
I think the bigger ill in that is that as of today, as of the recording of this podcast on what is now Friday, March 30th, they still have not really marked down prices. They've marked down maybe from the Toys R Us prices that I've seen, they've maybe marked down 15-20%. And that's even a bigger ill than the fact that they're closing at all. Like, bro, your store is fucking closing like for forever. And you still trying to wax niggas. Yeah, still trying to wax niggas like it's after 1 a.m. at the club. Come on, man.
I respect the hustle. Like, I can't knock niggas for trying to get over on niggas. That's a staple in life. You gotta get got before someone gets you. I believe Marshawn Lynch said that. But so Toys R Us closing. Everybody who was our age and older and even younger, Toys R Us was a sanctuary for us. Toys R Us had everything we would ever need. Personally, my mother and parents didn't really take me there a lot, but just even the allure of going there every once every couple years or so would just be enough to get me by my struggle in the third and fourth grade when me and the nigga Laquan fought. It's a lot.
You fought a nigga named Laquan in the fourth grade.
Yeah, I called him a dumbass. That was like one of my best friends too, and I called him a dumbass. And we were fighting, and then we was friends like the next day. But
you know what? And that's how fights are supposed to be, and that's why you know it wasn't as many niggas out here getting stabbed and robbed and killed. Wasn't as many Tekashi niggas out here back then because you shoot the fair one of your best friends, and you good a couple hours later. That's it.
Yep, and then you just you dip them on a. I guess Black Planet, I guess, or at the time, I don't know.
Black fucking, you know what? What's the other one, nigga? What's the other one?
What other
one? I don't know, tagged or some shit. You said you had two potential L's of the week.
Oh, yeah, my second one would have to be, like I said, this is a little dated. I thought you were talking about social black. Anyway, the second L of the week's a little dated, like I said before, it's going to have to be my nigga from Twitter who lost his girl. Down on spring break.
Oh. You know what? I feel like the bigger overall L obviously goes to Toys R Us, but I gotta give a smooth L to my man for the way he handled the situation going forward. Wes, I don't know if you want to explain, if you want to give a little synopsis.
Well, I'll give you a little preview. I don't know how he's handled it. I just saw the initial story, and I was just I was hurt. I felt it in my chest.
Oh, for sure.
That I'm all the way down in my plums. but for those who do not know, there was a
shout to Eastbound and Down, man, and all the fixes. I feel it in my plums. So
there's a Twitter video going around of a young man sitting on some sort of bench or something with a nice thick a light skinned young lady
red bone
shaking that ass and he was slapping it and it through Twitter she found him on Twitter, asked him to take it down. There were some conversations going back and forth, and it became found out through the timeline that she was in a relationship.
Whole relationship.
And then it came out later on that she was down here on spring break having a tremendous time telling people she was single.
You know, the wild part, you know, spring break. You know, going all the way back to the glory days of BT Spring Bling and Freaknik, shit like this has been going on for quite some time. But I don't know if it's just me, but I don't recall I don't want to say spring break, but I don't recall Miami in general ever being as wild as it is. Or maybe it's just more niggas recording shit. Maybe that's literally
the thing right now. It's just camera phones and the culture just getting documented. Everything is there. Niggas doing the same shit. Your parents was down spring break doing the same goddamn thing. The only thing they had were camera phones.
You're right. You know, take it back. You know, another few weeks too. You know, old girl that was getting her cake smashed to smithereens raw in the elevator. You know,
definitely. Ooh, I forgot about that. Yeah, shout out to the arena hoe.
The arena hoe. No, Wesley.
If you guys remember.
Wesley. No. Wow. I had to call you by your full government, man. Wow, the arena hoe. Jesus Christ. Oh God. If you weren't around for the Kent Arena days, in you know the glory days of Kent, you know I know y'all little niggas is having a good time right now, but y'all missed some shit. I will leave it at that. But and it's you know I feel like in that situation, of course you're gonna be very emotionally and mentally unstable. But I'm like really the only way to really handle that shit is to kind of go dark. You get what I'm saying? Like. You know what I'm saying? If that's my girl, I'm not gonna be on Twitter like, oh, that's my girl. Fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, bro. Like, you know, you just gotta. Fuck you mean? Don't worry about it, nigga. That's my girl, nigga. No, like it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just kind of gotta eat that ill, eat them Jameis Winston ills. Eat them shits, and then you know, fucking block her, remove her from your life, throw all her shit out on the street, you know, do whatever you gotta do to make yourself feel better, but ain't no damn way I'm gonna bring more attention to that situation. You think you embarrassing her, you embarrassing yourself on top of all of that. So, yeah. I mean, yep. Obviously there is no etiquette for an emotionally traumatic situation like that, men or women. That's why you don't judge, you know, you don't judge dudes in the way they act when they're in that situation. You don't even judge chicks when they start, you know, wilding or keying cars or whatever the situation is, because there is no correct emotional reaction to that. But I will say though, to try to use that for clout, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, to get some chick in your DMs. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, these clout chasers, as the young children call it, that ain't what it's about, man. You fuck around, you buckle down, my nigga. You buckle down, you get back in your bag, you get back to doing your shit. Fuck her. You know what I'm saying? Who gives a shit? You know, you get back to doing what you do, man, and you pull yourself up out the gutter, and you prosper. And you prosper like Lawrence from Insecure. Alright? That's the hashtag Lawrence Hive. That's what we out here for. unfortunately, you know, my mans couldn't be wearing the L. He couldn't be wearing the L.
Nah, he definitely caught an L. But like we continue to say, like the theme of the show is, even if you are unfortunate enough to catch an L, it is about the get back, the bounce back, how you recover and how you progress forward from said L and prosper to be the best person you can be.
You know, it's, you know, L's, my G, L's, my nigga, L's are a part of life. Even the most, you know, clout,
unavoidable,
the most clouded up, you know, the most definest, the, you know, the baddest, and you know, the nigga or the chick with the most bread, they all come across their L's too. But at the end of the day, man, L's build character, like digging holes build character.
Shout out to Stanley Yelnats in the home.
My niggas. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't face these ills, if you don't face these shits head on, if you don't deal, you know, with your situation, if you don't deal with your issues, you're going to go right back to not only making ills, but you're going to make even worse ills. And, you know, your good brothers, the Wayne Wonder Twins here at the Beware the Ills podcast, don't want to see you do that. Hope did that.
No.
So hopefully, Hope took quite a few L's. Hove lost 92 bricks in front of 560 State. Okay. Hove stabbed Lance Unrivera in the stomach over Charlie Baltimore. Hove cheated on Beyonce. Okay. So again, If Hov did that, you definitely shouldn't have to do that.
And now that nigga's almost worth $1 billion.
And now he's worth damn near $1 billion. So, regardless of your situation, regardless whether your chick or your dude got smashed on spring break, regardless of whether you got knocked out by a nigga named Cheeks Boss Man, regardless of whether you are embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars from other hardworking black people, beware the ills. Beware the ills. Hit that bounce back. And, you know, when we get that bounce back, myself and Wes and Juvenile will be ready to welcome you back into the fold with open arms. So that is going to wrap up episode three of the Beware the Ills podcast. Once again, I am your boy, Uptown AZ Boogie. You can go ahead and follow me on all the socials at Uptown Ace Boogie, B-O-O-G-I-E. And don't forget to follow the pod, of course, at Beware the L's on all social media.
Yep, follow me as well. Ain't That Wes. It's Ain't That with two T's, W-E-Z. Like he said before, the podcast at Beware the L's. Follow, subscribe, give us a rating, tweet us, let us know how you feel, leave a comment, let us know what's going on, how you like it or don't like it. If you don't like it, pretty much keep your fucking comments to yourself, bitch. Anybody ask you. But if you like it, let us know what's going on. Talk to us.
Big facts, man. And we will, you know, again, we apologize for the delay. Life shit happens, but we will be returning on a weekly basis, making sure you know, we bringing y'all that culture nonstop, because at the end of the day, you know, the culture is there, but you need your gatekeepers. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You need your people that's gonna filter out all that bullshit and make sure that y'all are getting right down to the meat of it. You know, basically you need the niggas that's gonna crack your crab legs for you and just drop that meat right on the plate. All puns intended on that one. Ain't no pauses. All puns intended.
Getting late. I don't know what direction you're going in, sir.
So that's gonna wrap the fuck up. Shout out to my man's Wes once again. Shout out to, you know, everybody who has been coming in again, leaving likes, comments, sharing, rating, and you know, my random shout out of the week. Shout out to my man's Jose Offerman. Just cuz.
All right, y'all, and
shout out to Hennessy, the sponsor, the unofficial sponsor of this podcast.
Definitely Dark Liquor plays a tremendous role, and we respect it. But, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, straight like that, we are out.
Yes, sir.